This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and once again, even during this time of quarantine, I'm so glad each and every one of you decided to join with me today in this podcast. As you guys know, we do a podcast every week, and I'm thrilled and honored to see all the thousands of subscribers who come get on board with us and just learn about the things of the kingdom. You know, one thing that I love about this podcast and the ministry that God's given me is the fact that I like to sort of push the border, you know, just push it as far as I can to the limit, because a lot of times so many Christian people and just people that just walk in spiritual, you know, power just really want to know more than what they're hearing from the altar at church, or maybe the pulpit from the church, or just what certain, you know, very comfortable Christians like to say. The truth is, I like to push the boundary, because I believe that God is in all things, because the Bible says it. God said, you know, without me, there's nothing that was made that was made. And so therefore, God is letting you know that all things were made by me and for me. And without me, there was not anything made and created in this world. And I like to push that boundary, because I'm talking scripture here, guys. And yet a lot of times we don't want to really follow after scripture when we hear the terminology of all, A-L-L. It scares people. For some reason, I think the reason why is because people tend to not like things they can't control. People tend to not like things that they can't wrap their brain around. You know, and that's sort of the human nature of life, but that's what belief is all about, is not feeling like I have to wrap my brain around things, you know? Can I wrap my brain around certain theology? No. Can I wrap my brain around certain doctrine? No. And the truth is, I don't really care to, because I don't want to take away the mystery of things that keeps me always seeking and knocking and asking, because that's the beauty of the kingdom of God, is keep me at a place where there's a mystery there, and it takes all my life, a whole lifetime, to be able to maybe tap into the surface of maybe just 5% of that, because I'm always seeking, asking, and knocking, and I'm always finding, and the door's always opening up to me, and I'm loving that. And so I don't have a problem with really walking in the unknown, and because I'm not afraid of the unknown. And one thing I like to do in a lot of my books, as many of you know, is really, once again, you know, push the envelope to really help people to think, get people to start thinking again. And my newest book that was just released, which we're about to ship off to our Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club partners, which I'm thrilled about. They're going to love it. By the way, if you're not one, you need to get on board with that now, to where you get a book of mine every single month, a brand new book of mine shipped to you, free shipping, free ebook sent to you, the whole works. And so you're missing out if you're not on our program, if you don't get my stuff. So my newest book is called Supernatural Attraction and Co-Creation. Supernatural Attraction and Co-Creation. And the reason why I called it that is because I wanted to bring the diversity, but yet the synergetic flow of these two amazing, powerful things that God's given us in this universe. And that is the power to create, you know, co-creation with God, and the supernatural attraction that we can call the coin term law of attraction. You know, I call it biblical, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, you attract into your world what you're thinking, and you know, what you are is what you're drawing into your world, because likes attract likes. And so, you know, the Bible talks about kindred spirit, you know, having a kindred spirit with someone. That means a spirit that is likened unto the same person. So the two people that like the same thing are going to attract each other, because like attracts like. Very simplistic, and there's so many Bible verses of visualization, seeing, viewing, attracting, pulling into play, you know, all through the Bible. And I love it. I really do. I love it, because it gives me an opportunity to be part of the participant, or participating in my own recovery, participating in my own creation, participating in my own life, participating in this universe that God's given me, co-laboring tools to work with me as I work with them, you know, called gifts of the Spirit, you know, prophecy, everything else that God's given us that works with us, alongside of us, and in us, and through us, to begin to draw and attract the things in our lives that God wants us to have. So it's beautiful. The story of humanity and the way that God has called us to be co-creators is absolutely breathtaking. It's beautiful because it gives us the power to participate and to have choices and options and opportunities that knock on our door and then doors we open ourselves. You know, and so it's a beautiful love story, as I call it. You know, this thing we call life and humanity. So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about my book. Once again, it's called Supernatural Attraction and Co-Creation. And basically what this book is discussing is the difference between the two, be it how they both work synergetically together or they both work, you know, simultaneously together. Now, when we deal with supernatural attraction, we're dealing with the fact of what we are sensing, feeling emotionally, the thoughts in our brain, dealing with that whole attractiveness of law of creation, law of attraction, I should say. So knowing that, that means that within my thought process, I'm always attracting the very thing that I'm thinking that I know that I've become, or the thing that I maybe have even masked myself to think that I am, which still plays a powerful role, because sometimes when you are quote-unquote deceived, for lack of better words, and you're thinking and you're always maybe getting visuals or mindsets or thoughts within your brain of the very thing that you're masking in the sense of what you feel as if you are, and let's say, for example, even under deception, then you're going to attract more into that your world. Now, the reason why you might say, Jeremy, wait a minute, you can't be saying deception's good. You can't be saying that's good. No, listen to me for a moment. Because everything in life is about triggers as well. And so when we're dealing with the power of deception, then we're going to draw more deception of what we feel is really part of us into our lives, right? Now, how is that a good thing? I'll answer your question. Because a lot of times when you take a look at your life, take a good, hard, deep look at your life, and you find out what is being drawn and attracted into your world, then it shows us a good thing. Because we realize then, wait a minute, when someone asks the question, wait a minute, why am I attracting this and this into my life? I love that question, because instead of me feeding off of it as being negative, saying, oh, I don't know, I can look and say, congratulations, that's awesome. That's the first step of awakening. And they're like, what are you talking about? Because the moment I discover that I come into an awareness or an awakening of, hey, these things are being drawn and attracted to my world. Why? Why is this being drawn and attracted to my life? That's the first step of true awakening, because it shows me, first of all, that obviously I'm attracting something that I didn't want, which means that there must be a mask over me or type of deception, which means that's good because I can change that. Are you with me? You know, the first step to recovery is admitting, right? So the moment, you know, you get in like AA meetings and they say, you know, they get in there and say, hey, my name's Jeremy and I'm an alcoholic. You know, and everybody says, hey, Jeremy, you know, type of thing or whatever. Of course, this is, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm just using me as an example. And so when you see that, you think to yourself, the first step to recovery is admittance. They'll tell you that, to admit, you know, face reality, you know, and admit what you are. Admit your weakness, admit your problem. So I believe that's true, because the moment I admit, wow, you know what, I'm attracting all these bad, negative things into my world. Great. Awesome. That means I'm admitting the fact that I'm recognizing that everything's being attracted into my life has been bad. It has not been good. And so therefore, because of that, I can what? Reverse the curse. Which means I can shift in consciousness. I can change my mindset. I can repent, which means change the way you're going, change direction which you're going, go the opposite direction. And so I can repent because of an awakening. Awakening comes before repentance, because you have to awaken to the fact that what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is not good for me. I'm attracting the wrong things. That's a first step to my recovery, is I admit it because I'm aware of it. I see it, and wow, that's awesome. So why do people always find themselves saying, oh, my world is horrible. Everything is going wrong in my world. Well, here's the key thing. They're admitting it, but they're not awakening to their admitting. You got to awaken to say, wait a minute, hold everything. If I am attracting things in my life that are bad and negative and wrong and sinful, whatever you want to call it, then here's my question is, you know, what's causing it to happen? Why is it happening? Like, why is this stuff happening to me? Why is this being pulled to my world? See, that's when you begin to realize that why can be, like I said it before, my Facebook Live, why can be a cursing or a blessing? And the moment you admit through your why question to, hold on a minute, why am I drawing this to my world? Then it's going to come to you in a positive light. That first why is a dynamic word when it comes in that situation. But later on down the road, if I stay in the power of why and I just say, oh, why does this keep happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me? Then I've realized my why's become a curse because I really don't want to know the answer to the why. Are you with me? I'm just complaining, moaning, griping, complaining like the children of Israel who constantly complained, but yet they were set free from Egypt. And some of them were like, man, just take me back to Egypt. Man, it was better being in bondage than it is being out here in the desert. Well, you know, because no one has appreciation. They haven't awakened to the fact of, look, hey, God just delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. I mean, you slave, you worked labor day and night, and now you're still complaining, and yet you're no longer there, and yet you also took riches with you when you left Egypt. Come on, they were given to you, and yet you're still complaining. Because in the middle of their metamorphosis, in the middle ground of the promised land versus Egypt, they found themselves, like many of us, whining, moaning, complaining, but yet because they don't realize that the fact that they're actually out of the negative, heading towards the positive. In other words, heading towards a promised land. And so when you look at your world, you look at your reality, you understand and realize, wait a minute, my first why is a blessing, because I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, why is this happening? So why can be a great awakening factor, or can be a great death trap to you because it puts you in a place of moaning, griping, and complaining, correct? And so my first why is, wait a minute, why is this happening to me? Great. Jeremy, I'll tell you what, find the answer to that. And here's how you find the answer to that, is awaken to the fact of discovery. Awaken to the fact of your own recovery and discovery. And what happens is, I find myself no longer in that moaning, complaining, griping mentality. I'm now moving into a place of, hold on a minute, I'm going to be a seeker for a moment, because I'm tired of my life being the way it is. And when I come to a place of repentance, that means I've had enough, I'm done. I'm tired of living the way I'm living, I am done. And this repentance does to you is it drives you and pushes you to the limit to say, I'm done with this stuff. I'm leaving it behind, and now I'm on great discovery and being a seeker to find out exactly why this is happening to me. And the moment I begin to discover exactly why this is happening to me, bam, like a bomb goes off in me. A trigger goes off in me to say, hold on a minute, wait a minute. I've been attracting all this stuff the whole time. I didn't need to, because it's not who I really am. Then the mask of deception begins to fall off, because then you begin to awaken to the fact of, wait a minute, this is not really me, because the person I thought I was keeps on attracting this stuff. So what if I am basically a good person at heart, and knowing that God loves me, and knowing that, you know, I'm saved, I'm blessed, I've got promises, abundance and prosperity and health and healing and wholeness, all are mine anyway, then the mask begins to fall off. Why? Because the revelation came after the awakening. The moment you awakened, revelation followed behind it. Anytime you awaken, revelation follows behind your awakening, every single time. The moment I begin to awaken, all of a sudden I get revelation on, why am I doing this? Hold on a minute, this is not me. Wait a minute, I need to be somebody else. Wait a minute, I need to be whole. I heard the other day in this podcast or broadcast that I could be made whole, that I actually am whole, that everything I've ever needed in life I already possess in me. And all of a sudden that revelation begins to flow, and the mass falls off of deception, and you begin to find out who you really are and the power and the authority which you have anyway through God. So because of that, that turned out to be a great thing. So deception within itself is wrong. But the moment I awaken to the fact of, why is this stuff happening? Why is this always hitting me? Then I realize I'm attracting things supernaturally that I didn't mean to attract. So if I'm attracting it, that means the fake identity that I've been acting like and feeling like I was isn't the real thing. It's not who I really am. That's the power of awakening. That's the power of attraction. So it works for us. And attraction is one of our best medications. Think about it. What you're attracting into your life is your best medication, because it's showing you something. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit brings all things back to your remembrance, because He begins to bring to your remembrance, wait a minute, have you noticed you've been pulling into your life this? Have you noticed you've been attracting this into your world? Why are you doing that? I love the fact that the Bible says the Holy Spirit brings all things back to my remembrance. In other words, remember, which means when I once had all my members together inside of me, which means when my wholeness and my full identity was there intact, and all of a sudden I began to dismember as opposed to remembering. And so I began to dismember all the functionalities of who I was. I began to dismember all the power and authority and anointing that I have. I began to dismember the fact that everything is energy and everything is flowing, so I need to flow and go with the flow of the will of God and take me from glory to glory. I began to dismember all that stuff, and I began to be stagnant because I began to come to the place of fragmentation. And so therefore the Holy Spirit brings things back to my remembrance. He begins to put things into me to reawaken me and to remember myself, put myself back together on the potter's wheel. Are you with me? I began to get all the members of the things in me that have become fragmented through attracting the bad, negative, wrong things I didn't want, and they began to be drawn back into me to remember and put the members back in me to begin to say, wait a minute, I have been drawing into my world bad things and wrong things, so I've been dismembered the whole time, fragmented. And so these are things you've got to begin to understand, folks. And then the co-creation part of it is understanding I've been attracting this stuff, but co-creating in God and with God and through God doesn't mean I'm attracting it. Co-creating is even something grander as well. It means I begin to create in my thought process something beautiful that has never been discovered, that has never been here on earth, because I begin to create something to begin to go before me. You know, when people say things about Bill Gates, you know, or Amazon or all these other, you know, billionaire companies or billionaires, you think to yourself, there's got to be some type of co-creatorship within them. If you can create even without God, then how much more can you create with God? And that's why for me, I have a very tough, hard time when I see a lot of Christians suffering and they're living from paycheck to paycheck. I don't understand that. I never have. Well, I haven't in 20 years. I don't understand that. Why? Because we are 10 times wiser than the children of this world, which means I'm supposed to be smarter than Bill Gates. I'm supposed to be smarter than those. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I'm just saying, I don't want to judge anyone, but you know, I should be smarter than anyone who's basically not in the divine mind, moving in the divine nature of Christ Jesus. I should be wiser, therefore should have a little bit more. And once again, when I say have a little bit more success, it doesn't mean I should be the most richest man in the world. No, that's not always success for everybody. If it's your success, then you know what? You should obtain that. If it's not your success of how you define success, then whatever you define success as, you will learn to attract that as you build it and create it of the definition of what success means to you. The reason why people suffer in this life from everything in their body, soul, and spirit is because they have no definition to their own creativeness. If there's no definition, you're going to get the definition of the enemy. You're going to get the definition of your foes. You're going to get the definition of your mom and dad and everyone around you who's already defined in a bad, maybe negative way, or maybe define their world that maybe was a positive thing, but you took on their definition and you begin to get into someone else's world. So in other words, you begin to find yourself dismembered again. And the moment you begin to awaken to the fact that it doesn't matter what other people say success is. What matters is what you say success is. I mean, no wonder why Jesus looked, you know, and Peter were talking, and he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And the key thing is, I would say this to you, who do you say that you are? Who do you say that you are? Because you're going to live only by your own definition, folks. You will live only by your own definition of how you have defined life. And when most people try to come off in some kind of religiosity by saying, oh, no, I live by what the Lord says. Well, you know, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because you're always going to be living. Listen to me, folks. You will always, until the day you die, always be living, fortunately and unfortunately, living through the perception of how you view God. So when you say, I know God, I'm going to live the way God wants me to. That's great and wonderful, and we're all striving for that. But you can't act like you've reached that place of utopia, because you haven't. Because you're still always dismembered by your own fragmentation of your perception. And so through that, you will always have a warped view. You will always have a warped view of anything and everything, because everything will flow through the eyes and the lenses of the perception that was trained and taught by you, of what you accepted through other people, and churches and religiosity and traditions that made the Word of God of an effect. And so, no, me and you are all in the same boat on that issue, always. That's why we fight through it. Fight the good fight of faith, to be able to press towards a mark, to reach for the high call, to be able to grab a hold and gravitate towards how the mind of Christ, of how it truly thinks, to where maybe I have a little bit more quality, a little bit more of a clarity on what God looks like, in the sense of what God likes and doesn't like and what He wants for my life. And so co-creatorship means I'm going to co-create a thought in my brain and work with God as He downloads into me through a proper alignment of what that should look like, what success should look like for me, and how success should look for me is how my life is going to turn out. So if you think success is outside of you and you say, I'm not successful, yet Bill Gates is, then what you're doing is you're already defining his own definition of success versus a definition you don't own. Because you're too busy living their definition. And that's why your life is messed up and doesn't have anything. That's why you live a life of mediocrity and you fight every day and you live from paycheck to paycheck. Because your life, listen to me now, folks, your life is beckoning you to come up hither. Your life is begging you, show me the definition. Tell me who you are and tell me how you define success. So therefore, guess what? Everything in the universe can be attracted to you by your own definition. And if you don't like what you're attracting, change it. If you don't like what you're creating, through the definition of the success in which God is working with you, of what that looks like for you, change it if you don't like it. Because you can always, always, always recalculate. Always. You can recalculate. You can learn to collaborate with God, move into the kingdom of God, get through the mind of Christ what success looks like for you, and then here's what's going to happen. You will be challenged yourself to know what your definition is. You know, when people ask me the point of God, as far as Christ, I always say, He says, what? Who do you say that I am? And that's what He would say to you. He's asking you the question, who do you say that you are? Look at Ezekiel. When God was looking at Ezekiel, and Ezekiel said, only you, God, know how these bones going to turn out. But yet it's interesting because God sort of left it up to Ezekiel to define that, what those bones look like in Ezekiel. Isn't that interesting? And then you turn around in the New Testament where you see the seven sons of Sceva, for lack of better words. That's how what they're called. And they got torn up and ripped up, we can say, by the enemy, demons, whatever you want to call it, because of the fact that they said, hey, look, Paul I know, and you know, and they named a couple of, you know, famous characters of the Bible. They said, but you, we don't know. In other words, because you have no definition. And they got basically, for lack of better words, eaten up, torn up. And the reason why is because even the enemy is calling you to say, who do you say that you are? If you can't define yourself by the revelation of the Spirit of God within you, defining your world of what you look like and what success looks like for you and what you look like in God, then I'm going to eat you up and spit you out. And that's exactly what happens to people every day. Because the reason why you're living from paycheck to paycheck and the reason why you're suffering is because you're suffering from lack of knowledge of things you don't know, because you're too busy living by someone else's definition. You're too busy living off what your pastor believes. And that's a bad no-no. And there's going to come a day when you're going to get eaten alive because you're too busy living by the extremities of the traditions of other people, not realizing that they're harmful for you. It's like the same difference as, looking at someone who takes medication and you say, hey, no big deal. If you're taking medication for this, I can take the same medication. No, because blood pressure medication can be taken by one person and can regulate their blood pressure perfectly. But if you take that same person's blood pressure medication, it can do you damage. It could really throw a loop on you. And so, no, you can't take other people's medications on serious, deadly things that keep the weight and balance of life and death on that person. No, you can't take their medication. So you see, that's what happens when you take someone else's definition. When you take on someone else's definition, you have to realize their medication for themselves, which is called their own identity and their own success, their own definition of what they call themselves and how they see themselves, can kill you, because it's not who you are, it's who they are. And so I want to encourage you today, if you want to learn so much more about the power to create and the power to co-create and the power of attraction and know the difference and know how the two work together, folks, listen to me. I know I talk fast, but that's because I'm pumped full of this stuff to believe that all things are possible for those that believe and trust in God. I want to encourage you right now, please don't delay. Go to my website. So many people suffer because they don't want to read. I always say, if you don't read, you will not be successful. If you don't read, you will remain poor. poor. If you don't read and educate yourself, you will never have anything in life, because knowledge is empowering to us. And people say, I don't like to read, I don't have time to read. Then you know what? Then you don't have time for God. Because you obviously don't know how to read the Bible, right? And because reading something increases your knowledge. And what do you think God uses in you? He doesn't use something that you're suffering in. So do you think God looks at you and says automatically, hey, I'm going to take your suffering and I'm going to utilize it because you've accepted your suffering. Because the thing that combats suffering is knowledge. The Bible says we suffer from a lack of knowledge. Your suffering is hear me out, folks. Your suffering is brought and attracted to you by your own definition, by your own lifestyle. Because the Bible makes it plain. You suffer when you don't have knowledge. So when you have knowledge, you move out of suffering, because knowledge becomes empowering to you, and action follows that, and you get the job done of your life. When you don't read, you don't study, you don't have knowledge, then you're living in suffering, and you're attracting more suffering, and suffering is awakening in you, and you become the suffering, and you're constantly begging and pleading, God, help me, help me, help me. And God says, you don't read my word. You don't read the things that combat the things. What is medication to suffering? Knowledge. Gaining wisdom. Why do you think people go to psychologists, life coaches, counseling? Why? Because these type of people, which is part of myself, help people to walk them through situations of suffering. How? Because we educate them by triggering and awakening triggers and showing the triggers in them that can actually shift their mind out of the gutter of mediocrity into a new realm, into a new place of discovery, where they have an aha effect, an aha moment, a great revelation, to say, wow, wait a minute, I have been doing this. Now I see why I've been doing this, and I know how to counteract this. That's what people do. People that are licensed counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists, they question you over and over again until something in you gets dislodged, and it begins to automatically, wham, I got it. Good idea. That's what hits them. So I want to encourage you, take your medication today. If you're suffering, your medication is going to be knowledge. You know, without a vision, the people perish. If you're tired of perishing in your life that's suffering, then you know what? I know how to combat that for you. And you know how you do it? You get a vision. Vision combats suffering. When you get to vision, it's a weapon of warfare that combats suffering. So I want to encourage you right now, gain knowledge, gain wisdom, gain power. Go to my website, identitynetwork.net. When you do, I want you to go to the top of my website, and I want you to enter in the search engine, okay, right now. I want you to enter in supernatural attraction. That's all you have to put in. Just put supernatural attraction. The name of the book is Supernatural Attraction and Co-Creation. But if you just put in supernatural attraction and then press the search button, it'll pull it up automatically as an ebook format, PDF format, and a paperback version as well. If you order the paperback version, I'll be more than happy to autograph it for you today before my staff ships it out to you. If you get the ebook version, you can download it right then and there and start on it right then. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. People don't realize, if you don't know what you're attracting, you surely don't know you're co-creating with God. Your life will be ran by somebody else. And you will never know who that person is, because you're giving your life away to somebody else. You never give your attention in the sense of your lifestyle to someone else. And you give your attention to other people, yes, that's karma and courtesy. But never give your attention of the direction of your life to someone else for someone else to begin to direct the sails of your ship. Don't ever do that. And it happens every single day of people. You might say, well, I don't willingly do this. No, you don't willingly do this. But you do give it away to people when you don't study, you don't learn, you don't get a vision, you don't know how to begin to co-labor with God, because you don't understand your power you have to co-create and how you're attracting things. When you awaken to these realities, then your life can shift and change, and you can have the life of your dreams the way God initiated for you to have it through His will. You guys are going to love this book. Once again, put in supernatural attraction, two words, supernatural attraction, in our search engine of identitynetwork.net. When you do, download the PDF file right then and there, which is the ebook, or order the paperback, and we can ship it out to you just ASAP, first thing today. And when we do, I can autograph it for you. So go right now and order Supernatural Attraction and Co-Creation. And once again, just put in the two words, Supernatural Attraction, press the search button, it'll pull it up automatically. All right? You guys have a dynamic, dynamic blessed day today. And don't forget, for goodness sake, go and create the life you were meant to create, to have and live in, to where victory is yours for the taking. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.